Just 5 minutes after the hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. I am Brady Hull. I've got Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass today, a.k.a. Micah Kilpatrick. Man, you have just been, you've been rocking and rolling, dude. You have been producing every single show on KFKA the last 2 days. How you feeling? Feeling good?
I'm awake.
Well, you should be pumped up, man. It's a big weekend for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, with their victory over the Vikings.
Well, they haven't beat the Vikings yet, Mike. They haven't beat the Vikings yet.
I'm looking into the future and assuming.
I know you and Tanner are, well, you're always thinking the Broncos are going to win, but you and Tanner, it was like a love fest this morning about zero chance that the Broncos can beat the Vikings. And we'll talk about that, what it's going to take. There's a couple of injury concerns for the Broncos. Will Justin Jefferson play in this game on the Viking side of things? So we'll get into all of that. But first, Micah, we need to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Didn't hit that yesterday, so I'm going to rewind a bit. Good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. I'm going to say the good is from Wednesday night. The Avs win big, 8-2. I mean, that's the kind of win that makes you feel a lot better about some of their early season struggles. And yeah, they were in a weird spot for a moment, but when you win big like that, 8-2, I think you feel a lot better about things going forward. The bad for me is what's going on with primetime and coaches, and primetime coming out saying that coaches are telling, he thinks that coaches are telling recruits that he's leaving Colorado. According to Fox Sports, Deion Sanders took aim at other coaches who he believes are spreading false rumors that he's leaving Colorado in the foreseeable future for to recruits. That's an interesting thing that's happening. I don't doubt it. I mean, if you're sitting down with a possible recruit and they're thinking about you, possibly Colorado, don't you think that that's going to come up and they'll say something like, yeah, he's probably not even going to be there. Is that the worst thing in the world? Is it? I don't really think it is, actually. I'm sure that that's just like a casual conversation of, hey, that's great. You want to go to Colorado. Are you even sure that primetime's going to be there in a year or two or three? Valid point. I don't think it's anything like breaking the unwritten recruiting rule between coaches. And the ugly for me, ESPN is at it again, Mike. Are we going to do this all year? I don't want to do this all year. I'm not going to do it all year, I promise. Don't let me do it, Michael. NBA analyst Jay Williams yesterday morning said that the MVP race right now does not include Nikola Jokic. He says it's between two different players right now that he's looking at. And he's got a couple of different guys he's looking at. Joel Embiid, Steph Curry in that mix. Joel Embiid. There we go. I mean, he's averaging 32 points per game, about 12 rebounds per game. Nikola Jokic is averaging 30 points per game. He's averaging 14 rebounds per game, and he's averaging about 8.5 assists per game. So we're getting close into that triple-double territory. I mean, Joker's numbers are better. Right there. His numbers are better, and he's on a team right now that I think looks to be one of the best teams or maybe they are the best team. It's right now it's Boston and Denver, probably Dallas is up there. And yeah, Philadelphia is in the mix, but are we really going to get to this point that Joker's not even considered in there? I'm not going to do it all year. If he wins MVP, great. If he doesn't, great. I'm not going to go on this crusade. It's exhausting. It's flat out exhausting. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I'm firing off the poll question from yesterday because we didn't really hit it. We had a great discussion with Mike Sanford joining us in studio. That was a lot of fun yesterday, but I wanted to give him time, talk about his career, his take, and obviously we were talking about college football realignment, the Tupac, whatever. So I'm going to recharge our poll question from yesterday, and I want your serious thoughts on this. Tonight is another in-season tournament game for the Nuggets, their first one on the road. They'll be playing against the Pelicans. Now that we've seen a couple of games go by here, are you feeling better about this thing? Are you liking it a little more? I got to admit, it does add some kind of unique watching element for me. I don't care about the floor. I don't care about the jerseys. I really don't care about the trophy that they might win. But it is kind of interesting. And now that I understand it, Michael, I don't know if you can find it, but Steph Curry lays out the best explanation of the in-season tournament. And I don't know why, but it finally hit me. I've had my guy Angel describe it to me at least 47 times, and I still couldn't quite grasp it. And Steph Curry kind of makes fun of people like me that we couldn't understand it. He's like, I don't know what's so hard to understand. But he lays it out perfectly. So if you don't understand it, let me just recharge that. It's you're put into these different pools, and essentially whoever has the best win percentage in those games, in those in-season tournament games, will go on to the playoffs, and they'll have a Final Four, and then they'll have the championship. That's essentially it. So the Nuggets are well on their way to do that right now. I'm going to go over those standings if you care. I really don't care, but it is a little more intriguing to me. And those saying that the Warriors-Timberwolves fight wouldn't have happened if it wasn't an in-season tournament game, I don't know, man. I've seen Draymond Green getting plenty of fights in regular season games that don't have the meaning. So I don't think that there's a desperate need to win the games that's changing the way that these guys play as opposed to how they would do it in the regular season anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it adds extra to these games. But me as a fan sitting there, it's again, I relate it to the bowl season. I know you're a big college football guy, Michael. You know my take and my feelings on bowl season. I don't love it. There's 4 million of them. You're rewarded for an average season. But with it set up this way, it's better to go to a bowl than not. So in this in-season tournament thing, I kind of view it as it's better to just win the games. I mean, I'm wanting you to win anyway. It's better to win the games and maybe win this stupid championship than not. You know? I mean, did you get the Curry thing? Could you find, you got it? Okay. Here's Steph Curry's description of the in-season tournament.
I love the commentary around nobody knows what's going on, but if you actually just take a second, take a deep breath and understand there are six groups, and whoever has the best record out of the six groups and two wild cards go, and then you play a bracket from there and try to get to Vegas, the Final Four, play two games. Championship is an extra game, but there's monetary stakes on the line, and then everybody else who doesn't make the bracket gets regular season games made up. Pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty simple, but still complicated. I mean, Steph Curry throws a little shade out there. I think he's getting paid by the NBA a little extra, by the way, because he has been so vocal about how great this thing is. It's still weird. It's still not like the regular playoffs. It's a unique thing that's weird.
I wouldn't call it unique. I'd call it, it sounds very gimmicky.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't like these kind of things that are different from what you're doing in the regular season. You know, like in baseball, when they used to have the one wild card game and it was just a game, you play all season in a series. You're in a series. Every single game is a part of a series. And then your playoffs are a series. But we were told that, nope, but this wild card game, one game to decide who moves on, was silly. They changed that. It's best of three. Love it. Great job. This is very gimmicky as well. The thing we love about the NBA playoffs, or at least I do, and NHL playoffs and baseball playoffs, is it's a series. It becomes this kind of story. This thing, I'll admit it, it's not as bad as I thought it would be, but it's really not doing much. I do sit down, like tonight. Will I feel a little extra pressure watching this as a fan going, God, if they lose this, that's going to hurt their percentage, and they might not be able to go to Vegas and play for the title.
And get that really pretty looking trophy.
Well, they get money for it too. But that, what's in it for the fans? That's the big thing. What's in it for the fans? Other than it's just basketball that we're watching anyway. I will be watching Friday night basketball. Now that's an in-season tournament game. No differently than I would be watching if it were just a regular season game. You know, it's weird that it's speckled throughout the season, too. It's not like a week's worth. Like, honestly, they should have just done, this is in-season tournament week. And they build up for that. And then, boom, you get all those games done. And then the next week, whatever, 3 weeks later, it's the actual tournament. So I'm not in on it. I still think the NBA, if they want to do something like this, they need to take a long look of how does this impact fans. And there are ways to do that. You know, if you win this thing, does it guarantee a playoff spot? Does it guarantee more than a play-in game? So if you're a middle-of-the-road team, because, I mean, this is a long season, folks. So if you get to the NBA in-season tournament playoffs or you win this thing, you could still have a rough second half of the season, or I guess 75% of the season. So for me, I honestly would like it to be you win this thing, you guarantee a playoff spot, or you guarantee a top spot. That would add more juice to this, and especially motivate teams that might be on the tanking side of things early to say, hey, let's go win this. But then therein lies that problem. See, this is why it doesn't make that much sense, because even there's the problem. You win the in-season tournament, you guarantee a playoff spot. What's to stop you from not really giving your all for the rest of the season? I don't think NBA teams are wired that way necessarily, but it's just, with these kind of things, you got to find what's in it for the fans. What's in it for a fan is for you, for your team to get into a bowl? Now, I know you're in a different level right now. Your college team is Washington, and they're looking at playoffs. But let's say they were like a 9-win team, or maybe like a Rams. You know, they're a 4-win team, and they need to win 2 games to get into a bowl. What's in it for you as a fan, rooting for them to get to a bowl?
Well, I would want my team to do their best to get into the best bowl possible so they get as many eyes as they can.
Because it will better your team for the future.
If you're getting to the 6-6 versus 7-5 nothing bowl, it's just another game that you can watch, and it's no one's in the stands.
But it probably does help recruiting a little bit more. If you tell possible recruits, hey, we're a bowl team. We were barely a bowl team. We think with you, we can be better than that next year.
We're top 50%.
Yeah, as opposed to saying, you know, we couldn't even win 6 games. We want you to come to our program. You know, if you're at least a 6-win team, you got the extra game. Maybe you win it, you're a 7-win team. I think that's better recruiting tool than saying we won 5 games.
Yeah, we're a subpar Power 5 school.
Yep.
Come to us because we're better than Florida A&M.
Yeah. So for a fan, there's something in it for you. You are looking at this going, okay, we can win the game. We get more eyeballs on us for a bowl, for the Tostitos Bowl or whatever. We get more eyeballs on us. That's going to help recruiting. That's going to, you know, get the school more money so that they can upgrade certain areas, all that stuff. As a fan, going to a bowl game does help your team in the short term and in the long term. It does. It's better than not. That's where I'm having trouble with the in-season tournament. I've been wired since I was born to watch sports, rooting for my team to get to the playoffs, to then win a playoff game, win the next game, then win a title. The title. There's not second. I don't root for second. I'm not just happy that the Broncos make it to the AFC championship game. It's better than not, but you're rooting for a championship. With the in-season tournament, I don't care what Joel Embiid says. We're not going to be rewired to think that the in-season tournament championship is equivalent to the end-of-season NBA championship.
Are you going to be rewired to care about the NBA All-Star Game, the 175 to 196?
They've tried. They try to rewire us. When I was little, the Pro Bowl was cool. I liked the Pro Bowl when I was little.
When they tried?
Well, it was just kind of neat to see all the great players together. But that lost its luster. I got over it. I got tired of it. It didn't do anything for me. Obviously, free agency allows star players to play on the same teams all the time. But just seeing guys together that are superstars playing on the same teams, it just doesn't do it for me. So over time, they've tried to fix it because fans are just like me in that respect, where it's just like, it was kind of cool for a little bit when I was young maybe, but really I don't care. So they keep trying to rewire us to make us care about that. Same kind of deal with the in-season tournament. So are you, as a fan, that's the poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Do you like it more after you've seen the Nuggets play in two of these? They've won both of them against, was it the Mavericks and the Clippers? Are you liking the in-season tournament better? I'm not going to say yes. I'm not hating it as much, but I would still be okay with it if next year they turn around and say, yeah, you know, it wasn't really worth it. Now, if they're seeing extra eyeballs, which I guess they are, the ratings have been up for these games, and they're selling more tickets to these games because it's a unique court and all that, and they're selling jerseys, the in-season tournament special jerseys, it's the same as the All-Star and Pro Bowl game. If they're making money off of it, more money than not, you know, more money than they would have had they not done it, then they're probably going to keep doing it if they're not at any kind of a loss. But if spending money to redo these courts every week or 2 weeks or whatever, buying the jerseys and that kind of thing, and then the trips to Vegas and then the pool that they're putting the money that's going to the champion and all that, then they're going to have to take a long look at it. Is it worth it? I get what they're trying to do. I know you're not a basketball guy, but you're kind of a hockey guy. How excited are you right now about regular season hockey?
Are you not nearly as excited as I will be for the Stanley Cup playoffs?
But you'll be a little more excited for regular season hockey in about 3 months, probably, right? 4 months?
Yeah.
So that's what they're trying to do, is get that excitement now. They're trying to, because NBA especially.
Shorten the season.
Well, that's always been my biggest thing. You want to get people more excited about your regular season, then you need to shorten it. And they're not going to do that because they're going to lose money on it.
Yeah, the season is so long. It is so.
82 games is, like, I think the sweet spot is like 62. 62 would be awesome because now every game means something. Every game means a little bit more. And, you know, like tonight, does this game mean something? Absolutely. I want the Nuggets to go on win streaks. I want them to win 7, 8, 9 in a row this regular season. That's what Calvin Booth wants from this team. He wants to see them. If they lose a game, now I want to see a 7-game win streak after that. And right now they've had 2 4-game winning streaks, I think, or whatever. But is it as powerful on a nightly basis when it's like, okay, you lose tonight, you can lose about 18 more of those. You can lose about 22 more of those. It's fine. You want to get where the NFL is, and you'll never get quite where the NFL is, but you want to get close to that where every single week feels like a playoff game. It kind of does. In the NFL, we gear up for it. We get ready for the big game on Sunday or Monday or whatever. And that game means so much to the playoffs, to your regular season, all of it. Sunday night's game between Denver and Minnesota is colossal. It's absolutely huge. Tonight's game against the Pelicans, it's just a basketball game that's on that I'm going to watch. The difference is huge. So with the NBA, they need to figure out, how do we keep this thing more interesting in October, November, and December? Because the NBA really starts picking up around Christmas. They promote the Christmas thing, and that's a big deal. There's really great games on Christmas. But before that, most people, unless you're like me or a diehard Nuggets fan or an Avs fan, it's not must-see television for you. You're competing with football. You're competing with now college basketball. In October, you're competing with baseball. You're competing with college football. You're not going to win that battle unless you make every NBA game mean just a little bit more, and I don't think the in-season tournament is it.
And you're not going to get those people. There are people who are either NBA fans or either college basketball fans. It's the weirdest
You're right.
thing.
They are two different. Correct. Two different sports, really.
Yeah. I know some people who are just college, hate the NBA, mm-hmm. just NBA, hate college. It is the same sport, but it's almost different sports. It's not like that with
it's just played.
You don't have that as much with college football.
No, that's a good point.
And the NFL.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think there are people that are just diehard NFL guys. They don't get into college. But I feel like more now than ever, you are kind of both. There, most people are like, Saturday, great. I'm going to pick out some fun games to watch. Sunday, NFL day, got it, perfect. I think that people are becoming more and more wired because, again, what does football do better than anybody? They market. They market so well.
And football, like, they feed into each other so well. And football is football. I agree with you. I think most football fans are like that. But there are – basketball is just weird like this. There are just people out there who like one or like the other.
And you want to know what college basketball has that the NBA doesn't have?
Defense.
Well, no. Don't get me started on that, Mike. You know that's a hot button for me.
Oh, I said that to Jerry Schemmel, and he did not like that comment either.
Jerry's got my back then. It's he not does. Better defense. It's just better offense. The NBA has better offense. I mean, watching the Wyoming game during the show yesterday, it was on in the studio, and there's so many clanks, man. There's so many bad shots. The UNC-CSU game, so many wide-open misses. You don't see that in the NBA. Anyway, thank you for getting me off the track there. But what college basketball actually has that the NBA doesn't have? Meaningful regular season. Quad one wins, quad two wins, quad three wins. You have a goal to get to 20 wins, typically. It used to be that. Now it's probably closer to 24, but you also have to look at what was the strength of that schedule. So like tonight, CSU plays the Kansas City Jackrabbits or Roos or whatever they are, Kangaroos or something. This is a big game because if you're CSU, you want to get to that point where you're at 20, 21, 22, 23 wins. But this game is not as big as the CU game will be. Right? Go ahead.
You know, I was just thinking UNC has an in-season tournament, and that matters a lot more. It's next week.
Mm-hmm.
That matters a lot more because they have less games.
Well, the in-season tournament becomes part of your resume. Now, with UNC, it's interesting because they're a Big Sky team. The regular season doesn't mean that much. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's true.
You're going to be, because isn't it in the Big Sky, they all get into the tournament?
Yeah, they all get into the tournament, but like your regular season, you can have a fantastic regular season.
Lose the first game.
And the NCAA doesn't give a crap.
You're not getting an at-large bid if you're a Big Sky school. Which I think should change if you're really, really good.
If you go undefeated or lose just
like,
one.
If UNC beats CSU and CU and then they end up winning 25 games, they should be considered to have, they didn't, of course, but they should be in that consideration. But that's just the way it is. But there is some motivation because as a UNC team and a Big Sky team, you want to be in the top five, get a first round bye or something in the Big Sky tournament. So that means something, but that's conference play. So right now for UNC especially, the non-conference schedule is really preseason. But for Mountain West teams and, you know, big time schools, Big Ten, all that stuff, their games, their regular season means a lot. For the Nuggets, it's all like the NBA, it's just about standings, which you can be a Lakers team and be a 500 team or below 500 team, but we've seen it time and time again. They turn it on. 28 minutes after the hour, I got to take a break. I will have Justin Michael of DNVR Rams joining me. He's got an idea. I'm bringing people on that have ideas. And he has an idea about what the Pac-10, perhaps, should look like. We'll pick his brain about that coming up in a moment. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Best Nuggets podcast is back at 1310kfk.com. A pickaxe to grind with Brady Hull on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Steamway, floor to ceiling, family owned and operated. They've been doing that for over 35 years. They're at 602 8th Avenue here in Greeley. Check them out online at steamwayfloortoceiling.com. So are you in or are you out? I, you know, it's funny, Micah. I thought in my brain I was going to do a whole segment on how I'm kind of liking the in-season tournament more. But as I'm explaining it and going through it, I'm like, actually, no, I still don't like it. Still doesn't do anything for me. So
Did I help you at all?
Yeah, you kind of did. You kind of did.
I was trying to be positive.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
Oh, you have been very positive today. 34 minutes after the hour, we're going to have Justin Michael on the program from DNVR Rams in just a moment. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-eight minutes after the hour, big weekend coming up, man. I don't know what to pick. We got basketball, we got college basketball, we got college football, NFL, my goodness, hockey rocking and rolling. I don't know what to pick. But I do know that I like. I would pick this idea from Justin Michael at DNVR Rams. I love it. He's got an idea about what the Pac-12 2.0 would look like. Justin, my man, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Brady. It's good to be on the show. I'm excited to talk about this concept. Obviously, a big point of focus for college football fans on this part of the country. And, you know, got a big weekend coming up. Big college football game for CSU. You know, CSU basketball 3-0. I'm getting over bronchitis finally. Mm. So it's all looking up.
Man, so you're feeling better? You're getting over that stuff?
I'm getting there. It's not completely gone, but I believe I am no longer contagious, according to my antibiotics, so that's a benefit. But in basically, in looking out for everyone, I did not want to be around them last weekend, so I had to cover that game remotely. But everybody would be thankful if they heard my nasty cough. They would have been thoroughly grossed out.
Well, I'm glad you're getting to the point where you're somewhat on the mend. Clearly, you're feeling good enough to put this together, and I'm glad you did, because it had me. Everybody's kind of got an idea of what this might look like with the news that we got earlier in the week, Justin, about the Tupac, whatever we want to call it, winning their case and getting the voting rights. More importantly, the money, the financial side of it is the big one to take away. But now we're starting to look at it. Okay, Oregon State, Washington State, potentially looking at a schedule next year with Mountain West teams, and we're all kind of the belief that that's just going to set up the next step, which is to basically merge into one gigantic conference. Do you see it then basically it's going to be the two pack teams, mostly the Mountain West, and I know you threw Gonzaga in there too on the basketball side.
It's going to be really interesting. There's some important language regarding the scheduling alliance, and that basically while the next 2 years are just that, a scheduling alliance where the Mountain West will be playing those two remaining PAC schools, Washington State and Oregon State, but it won't officially be in the same conference. And then after that, you kind of, you're in line for some type of merger. I mean, the important thing for the Mountain West is you needed some type of long-term commitment. You got to be like, well, what do we get out of this in helping you fill the schedule? You know, we don't want you to do that and then just, you know, peace, go on your own way a couple years from now. So getting that long-term commitment is huge. There is some language in there that says there could be some financial penalties if Washington State and Oregon State choose to only take some of the Mountain West schools and not all of them. I imagine that is, you know, coming from the Wyomings and the New Mexicos and the Nevadas of the world who don't want to get left behind in all this, and that makes sense. It's also kind of ambiguous and open-ended, and if Oregon State and Washington State have plenty of money, it wouldn't shock me if they just, you know, threw some of those schools a couple of dollars when they move on and they take some of these top Mountain West teams. But that's how I had it. I had them taking the top 10 Mountain West teams and leaving behind Nevada and San Jose State. Nevada fans did not like it. I did include Hawaii as a football-only member, maybe saying it's more logical to have Nevada, especially because Gonzaga could be a long shot as a basketball-only member. But they're not the only school you could go after. I mean, St. Mary's is a great program. They would make a lot of sense as basketball-only. Basketball was a big point of emphasis in this league for me. I know it's not always the biggest moneymaker, at least compared to football, but I think it would be a really competitive league in both sports, and that's what we should aim for, a competitive product that uses common sense and regionality, which is going away in college athletics. But to me, that's what makes sense. If you're rebuilding the Pac-12, have schools on this half of the country. I know you could maybe go for like a Tulane or a Memphis, but or a East Carolina or something like that, but having somebody who has access to the Atlantic Ocean in the Pac-12 doesn't make a whole bunch of sense to me.
No, and that's the theme of most of these that I've seen of people putting them together, is staying in that West side of things. And I think, again, when we're talking about student-athletes and saying, hey, we care about them. We care about them and their education and all this stuff. Well, you know, in the middle of the week, if you're a basketball team having to go across the country to play a game and then get back, go to class, all that stuff, I mean, that's going to be difficult on these student athletes.
And it's going to be expensive. I mean, we're already seeing reports about the University of Arizona being like $250 million in debt or something like that. I don't even know how that happens. I'm sure there's some type of criminal investigation coming there.
Wow.
But like the fact of the matter is we've just lost common sense with all this. And even on football, like it's really going to be brutal for the soccer and volleyball and those teams of the world who aren't, you know, flying first class. They aren't going to be on private jets like Michigan football is. You know, it's not a big deal for them to fly to Oregon. But I just think we need a little bit of common sense here. These are all schools that are competitive. They can be a factor at the D1 range. But if we're being realistic, they don't have the same resources or money as some of those bigger schools. So don't overextend yourself in a way that's completely unnecessary to frankly play teams that don't move the needle. And maybe that's my own personal bias. I have a history with the Mountain West. I've grown up watching New Mexico. I have an appreciation for the Pit and that. So maybe it's just because that's what I know. And so to me, I'd rather take what I know than a Memphis or a Tulane or whatever. But to me, that's what makes sense, is playing teams that are around you, that you have history with. And frankly, when I see all these schools abandoning their history, the thought of potentially losing, you know, the border war as a conference matchup, for instance, just because Laramie isn't as desirable of a market as Houston or whatever, that's insane to me. Houston may be a big market, but who cares about Rice football?
Well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, when you look at Wyoming, yeah, I know Wyoming on its own nationally isn't that attractive, but the rivalry should be if it isn't. I mean, I think that I would love to see more national branding around all of these trophy games. I think they're huge for college sports, and we're running out of them. So you should really, nationally, they should promote the heck out of these games. So it's with Wyoming, I get it, 100%. It's not necessarily the programs. It's more or less you're bringing them over to this idea because of that rivalry.
Yeah, and just the history. And, you know, all these teams, they're a competitive product, and it makes sense. They're all within a traveling distance that allows you to drive if you want. You can fly if you need. I mean, it's just, it's using common sense. And I understand that TV markets and TV executives have dictated a lot of this, and it's those type of people that are going to be driving these decisions. So you probably should factor in market size and all that. But at the end of the day, I'm a big college football fan. This is obviously what I do for a living. I consume it. I talk about it. But I've always loved college football. And what I've loved most about it is those matchups like CSU Wyoming or even a Fresno State Boise State who just played a great game. I mean, it's just, to me, that's what you should be leaning into, especially during a time when other leagues are abandoning it, because you're not going to beat them at their own game. Like, you're not going to outshine Ohio State, Oregon, or all these, you know, weird national USC, Michigan by adding a Tulane or a South Florida. Like, does that really move the needle anymore nationally? South Florida versus San Diego State, and you're spending all this money to add the travel. To me, it's just like, maybe you get a couple more TV bucks out of it, but I don't truly know if that's worth it in the end.
Yeah, that's the other question, too, is around the TV side. But before that one, I was going to ask you if this Pac-12 2.0, at least your idea, I was going to ask you if they would essentially be considered a Power 5, but I don't know if that matters with at least the new structure with the college football playoffs, because they came out at the end of, what was it, last week, and basically said it's going to be 5-7. It's going to be the five best conference champs, not necessarily guaranteeing, which they probably will, but not necessarily guaranteeing one of the powerful conferences to get in. Now it's just, hey, if you're a champ and you're ranked above, you know, you're fifth on that mix, you're going to get in. So I don't know that the whole Power Five thing matters as much, at least today as we talk. Now, they could change this thing in a year or two.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I don't know if that distinction matters quite the same way, just with how all these leagues have shifted. It's such a different spot. We basically have the SEC and the Big Ten on their own level, and then it's almost like the Elite Two, and then, you know, the ACC and Big 12 are like the next power two, and then the Mountain West would probably be the next best league, in my opinion. But I don't know if it's a Power Five, but I do think that it is competitive enough consistently in football, especially assuming that brands like Boise State and San Diego State are their typical self and not what they are this year. Fresno's been great under Tedford. Air Force has had multiple, you know, 10-win seasons in the last 5 years. That's a lot of consistency, and frankly, I think those teams could compete with a lot of teams. So I think it would have enough respect in football to have a shot, which is really what you're aiming for here. I think it would be viewed slightly better than the current Mountain West. And like I said, on the basketball side, I think it'd be really entertaining too. So there's a lot to be gained from it, I think, just from a common sense point and not spending all this money to fly over all the country, but also just putting together a good competitive league.
Justin, I got about a minute here. What do you think is going to be the situation with the TV set? I had Mike Sanford in studio yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I'm all in on the Apple TV thing. And I'm not. I like the linear thing, man. I like being able to turn on the TV, and there it is. I don't have to go find and go through 4 million apps and recall and all that stuff. So I'm more of the linear dude. What do you think this is going to look like on the TV side of things?
I think I'm somewhere. I think you're both right, to be honest. There's a, like, I'm old school. I have cable still. I don't know very many people under 30 that do, but I'm with you. I like the convenience of just, I press one button, I put on ESPN, boom, bang, there's the game. Where I'm with Mike is the future is headed towards streaming. So while I have my own gripes about how it currently is, that is clearly the direction we're heading. And I think being first with a company like Apple and really taking advantage of a company who's obviously going to play a factor in all this that at some point could be very beneficial down the line. And, you know, maybe that opens up the opportunity, you create this, and maybe some of these other schools like Arizona State, you know, come back into the picture down the line. UCLA, Stanford, Cal recognize, hey, this was dumb. Like, we're spending way too much money and we can't even compete any more than we were anyways. So I think you're both right at the moment.
I like it. Hey, you know, best of both worlds. Let's get both. Let's just get them both. Work it out. Work
exactly.
It out, Pac-12.
Okay, no, let's go.
Justin, my man, appreciate all you do and your Rams coverage, what you guys do at DNVR. And you just get to feeling better, my friend.
Much love, buddy. Always fun to chat with you.
We'll talk to you soon. Justin Michael, DNVR Rams. It's a fascinating conversation. It really is. And I want to get in more of that on the other side, too. Like, I don't know that the Power 5 thing means as much right now if the College Football Playoff Committee is basically saying it's the best five champs. That's what we're taking. And then the next seven at large. So, theoretically, that's going to go to the four power conferences and then likely whatever this is. But it's not set in stone that you couldn't be a group of five conference and you could get in if you're the champion that has the best record and all that stuff, if the SEC has a weird year and they just beat each other up throughout the course of it. 51, you got something? You got something on this, Mike?
Oh, I was going to joke. Maybe they could do an in-season tournament like the NBA.
Yes, do an in-season tournament. That would be better. 51 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Wrapping up hour number one. We got a busy 12 o'clock hour. I got the big story of the day. We got some basketball. CSU taking on Kansas City. We'll go into that a little bit, too. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
November, a time of thanks.
Why should I give thanks on Thanksgiving? What have I got to be thankful for?
We're thankful for you, Northern Colorado.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They have over 40 specialists providing care across six medical campuses: Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, Longmont, Lafayette, and Westminster. Check them out online at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. We got Football Friday coming up and the 1 o'clock hour, thanks to our friends over at Crazy Carl's Pizza. Broncos, Vikings, big game. Really, so another big weekend here. Colorado State needs to win out. CU needs to win out. They want to go bowling? They got to win. There's nothing else to do now left to do for those programs but win. Wyoming, what are they playing for? Talk to Ethan Bird about that in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Big story of the day coming up next.